entering.
DJCA, this is N4QNB. The name is Brian. How are you doing this morning?
4QSC, Brian. KA3JCA, the name here is.
It's a bad spot. It's been from Fort Flyer to down in the dumps. Yeah, you probably have a better spot by now. I'm just working my way through the morning traffic, going to do a little bike ride on the Swamp Robert Trail.
Bike mobile, haha. That sounds fun.
It is. I enjoy it. I don't ride on the public roads. There's too much of, let's see how close we can come to this person's leg when they pass me. So I stick to the Swamp Rabbit Trail and really nowhere else around here.
Excuse me, I truly understand. Yeah, last year I think there was quite a few accidents where bicyclists got hit because of drivers not paying attention.
I did for a while ride out on the country roads, but that just got too dangerous. Even on a Swamp Rabbit Trail, there's, when you get up to Traveler's Rest, there's two intersections that have crosswalks and signal lights, and I walk my bike across both of them every time because I've almost been hit walking in the crosswalk, and they have people making left or right turns that aren't looking.
It's a shame that they're making all these new cars that sense stuff, you know, like other vehicles, and they stop. It'd be nice if they would stop for pedestrians or bicyclists or animals before, you know, somebody gets hurt or injured.
Most people are fine in the vehicles. It's just the drivers. Like I say, most of them are fine. It's just a very small minority, small but, I won't say vocal, but small but rude.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So how's the weather out there? Is it hot and muggy yet, or is it still a cool temperature there in the... I take it that you're like under a canopy of trees or whatever. I don't know. I've not been able to go on the Swamp Rabbit Trail for a couple of years because of my disability, so I don't know what it's like now.
For years, they've redone most of the trails. They did a terrific job. I mean, whoever came up with the idea of trenching the sides of the trail so it cuts off roots from going underneath and then popping up the asphalt, that was a tremendous idea. I don't know who came up with that, but he should get a raise.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's a shame they don't do that more. I mean, I know some country roads have a culvert, a ditch on one side of the road, but you're right. If they were to take areas that have pronounced trees on both sides, if they were to cut it away and trench it, it'd be nice because, like you said, it'd keep the asphalt in better tact.
They trenched down, I think it looked like it was about 3 feet, and, you know, then they filled it back in, but basically they cut off the big roots that are the problem, so it's much better. It should last a lot longer. I think the first one lasted about 10 years, but a number of spots where they had to redo it because of the roots dropping off, but overall it's very good now.
Ride by yourself, or do you have a group of people that you ride with?
Myself. I can do some thinking and actually spacing out as well when I'm riding on the bike. I just get to enjoy it. I don't have to worry about anybody else's speed or who wants to go when. I just, I'm retired, but I just get up, decide, okay, I'm going to go for a ride today, the weather looks fine, and I go. So it's good. The only time I go went with a group was I did a Erie Canal bike ride in New York about 4 or 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago, and that's about 400 miles straight. had about 8 days, and you camp out at night. So, but even then, riding by myself, I was with a group, but kind of by yourself in a group.
Wow. Yeah, when I was younger, I used to live up in upstate New York near Plattsburgh, right off the, there was an Air Force base up there off of Lake Champlain and so forth like that. My dad was in the military. And then my brother actually, him and his wife live up in that area. So I love New York. I love the weather. I loved it when I was in Boy Scouts up there. So miss all of that. So now I'm down here in good old Greenville, South Carolina. So I also love photography, and I know that if I was out there now, even if I was on a bike or whatever, that I'd probably take my camera and stop and take pictures daily.
Yeah, well, if you're helping us, Brad, I'm a Navy brat. I served in the Army, but I grew up, my dad was in submarines in the Navy, so we have something in common there. And actually, everybody in my family but me lives in the upstate New York area, Rochester, New York. If you're from Plattsburgh, it's not that close. But my wife was born and raised in Brooklyn and Long Island. I met her in upstate New York when I got out of the Army, and then I got transferred around a few times with the company I retired from.
Well, we were there in Plattsburgh, and we left Plattsburgh to go to Clark Air Force Base. And just before we actually shipped out, my brother met a young lady up there, and they continued to write every day for 2 years while we were in the Philippines. And when we came back to the States and I graduated high school, my brother wanted to go see her. My dad asked me to drive him up there since I had my license. So my brother and I took a road trip, and they got together, and the next thing I know, they were getting engaged and planning a marriage, and they got married, and they now reside up there, and he has 3 grown kids, and he actually has grandkids now.
In my case, I married my dad's nurse. She was a nurse at the hospital. My dad was a heart patient there, so he was in and out with regularity, and it was the same floor, who became my wife as a nurse on that floor, so I knew her long before we were dating.
Romantic, KA3JCA for ID.
They had to be prodded, but decided I was been single for far too long, so and it worked out well. So we've been married for under 50 years, but getting close. I think it's 48.
Amazing. Yeah, my parents were married over 50 years. I'd have to sit down and calculate it up. I lost my mom and dad back in, 2009, I think it was. I lost my parents back in 2009. My dad died of cancer, and my mom passed away 3 weeks, almost to the day. Actually, what the doctors are calling is a broken heart. She went to the doctors, and she was kind of worried. They were going to tell her a bunch of bad news. They gave her a clean bill of health, and when they hospital wheeled her back to the house and they were going up the ramp, she had a massive heart attack, and they said it was her time and so forth. But so both my parents are now deceased, and they're buried over here in Rock Hill.
My mother was alive for a number of years after my dad passed away, and my wife's parents, I guess it was her mother went first, and then her dad. We actually had him down here. He was living in Long Island and Garden City South, and we brought him down here, and he was in a assisted facility about a mile and a half from the house, so he was close by for the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's amazing how life works. You know, we're raised by our parents when we grow, you know, when we're growing up and so forth, and then when they get old, we end up taking care of them. So I miss my parents deeply. It's not a day doesn't go by that I don't think about them. And right now I'm married and I have a stepdaughter that lives with us, and I have a daughter that lives in Connecticut, and so forth like that. So right now we're just trying to live every day as it comes, make the best of it. If you probably heard me on the net, I am confined to the bed, and I'm on oxygen all the time.
Yeah, getting to be a little scratchy, but still readable. And my age. I mean, I'm a cancer survivor. You know, approaching 75. Like my wife says, I should be glad I'm vertical.
Okay, so you're like 12 years older than I am. So, yeah, I'm 63.
Social Security.
Yeah, I'm on disability, Social Security disability.
As far as my father's and his family medical background, I took mine at 67 when he could get 100%, and I have no regrets about that. The only regret I have is I didn't feel like retiring until I was 69, and then I decided at 69, I told my boss, I said, okay, I'm turning 70 in December, once we get through the Christmas holiday, I'll be departing. So once I did retire, I was kind of annoyed with myself for not doing it sooner, but the reasons were different. I had retired once before, didn't have any grandchildren. Now I've got five grandsons, and two of them are close by. Yeah, in Powdersville, easily. Another set's up in Maryland. So that was my incentive to get out and spend more time with the grandkids.
I'm not going to say I'm fortunate, but neither one of my daughters are married, and I have no grandchildren yet. So would I love them? I would probably say yes. But am I any hurry for it? No.
And for Q and V, my oldest daughter, she and her husband live in Bel Air, Maryland, just north of Baltimore. And she has twin boys, and my hat's off to her. I mean, you know, one is hard enough, but twins, they're a handful. Just watching them for a day, you know, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. I enjoy it, but I'm exhausted.
10 years, when I was a lot younger, 10 years ago, I worked for the YMCA, and I loved it because I taught swim lessons and youth sports, soccer, and so forth like that. And I got to work with the children and so forth during the day. And then come 5 o'clock, I could give them back to their parents.
I'm a little bit different. I don't want to give them back. I don't know what it is, but, you know, with my kids, I would hold them all the time, you know, play with them, spend as much time with them as I could. And with the grandchildren, it's the same way. I mean, like my the first grandson was, when they brought him home, he had a silver diaper, and, you know, I said, I'll take care of it, and took him in the other room. And what I find out is there are quite a number of men who have never changed a diaper. And I just find that hard to believe. When my dad was in the military, submarines, he'd be gone for, you know, 3 to 6 months at a clip. So if you were home and one of your siblings was an infant, you were out.
I don't have a problem doing that. We, my wife is an intervener, and she watched a deaf-blind child that she worked with for 4 years before they moved to Colorado here just recently. But I used to have to feed him with he's fed through a stomach tube, and also have to change his diapers. And we finally, he just turned 8, but we finally pretty much got him potty trained at age 8. We tried and tried and tried, and he just, he didn't like the idea, and I don't know if it's because of his medical condition or what, but we were just so happy, and I have no problems changing a diaper.
I tell people I have the best job I've ever had in my life. 2 to 3 days a week, I take care of my youngest grandson, who's, I guess, 3 and a half at this point, and I've been taking care of him that time span. My daughter teaches elementary school, so when school's in session, I get him for half the week, and my daughter's brother-in-law gets him for the other days. So we've bonded. I mean, since he was 2 months old, you see a lot of him. So that is an unbelievably great feeling.
KA3JCA Friday. So your daughter, it's down here. Does she work for Greenville County?
A school teacher in Anderson County, I guess technically Powdersville. I don't know if you're familiar with the area, but Concrete Elementary into kindergarten through second grade. I always tease her, she's got the senior class. You know, she's got the second graders.
My wife worked for Greenville County for 4 years, and like I said, she's not really a teacher. She's considered, I guess, an aide, but a special aide because she knows sign language, and she got nationally certified as an intervener for blind and deaf children with the CHARGE syndrome. It's a medical condition and so forth. But so she did that for 4 years, and they needed to move their son to a different school so he could get some better education than what Greenville had. So they left and moved to Colorado. So needless to say, my wife is working another job now, different.
The skills would think it would not be very difficult at all. I'm a retired bean counter. I had a tax client who was a retired special ed from Ohio, who retired and then came down here. And she said if you're in any kind of special ed, you can kind of pretty much call your own shot. So I let Murphy's Law here. Your signal is willing and full quieting, and I'm at the Greenville Zoo, which is the starting point of my ride. So I'm going to be putting the mic down and getting my bag off the rack and do my thing for a little under 3 hours. So it's good to chat with you. Catch you again on the air. I'm not on that much, but I do a lot of listening. And I heard your call, and so as much as I picked up the mic. So I'm going to pull into the lot here. I'm going to be careful of my driving. I will catch you hopefully later on again. And it's been a pleasure. Again, it's N4QNV, and the name is Brian. And I'll be clear on your funnel.
It's been a real pleasure. I'm glad I was able to keep you company there for a while. So we'll say 7-3, and I'm usually here on the 610 repeater, and I'm also into digital DMR radio, so I usually hang out on Talk 93, which is North America, so, but you'll hear me on here most of the time. All right, 7-3, KA3JCA, Claire.
Have a good one, and 4-2-3, Claire.
Take our camper out on its inaugural shakedown cruise. remember hearing you talk about getting that camper a week or two back. Yeah, that'll be good. You know, take it out and see, take it out somewhere and have some fun. Yeah, I got a buddy of mine. We've been getting together about once a week and go fishing these little pay ponds in the area and catch some catfish.
Anything sizable enough to eat?
Oh yeah, he pulls in some monsters from time to time.
I haven't seen any of those around in a while. Where were there one? There used to be one up at Traveler's Rest, and then there was one over off 290. And those are both shut down. Where is some?
One up, and probably closer for you, is up around Dacusville. Let me see. Oh, Laurel and Hardy's. The comedy team, if you remember them from back in the day, that's the name of the fishing lake.
Okay, well, I live over 4 miles south of Highway 11, towards Campobello.
Up that way, I'm not familiar with anything. Last time I did any fishing up that way was, about 40 years ago. Me and my cousin walked up through the mountain and tried to catch some trout. And we didn't have any luck, but we saw a little old lady coming down out the mountain, and she had a string of trout. And she had some luck anyway.
Women always show us up fishing.
That does seem to be the case. Any time I've been out and there's been a female in the group, they've done better than the rest of us.
Why we don't want to take them along? Goodness gracious.
Steve, are you involved with any of them that fly the drones and the airplanes?
Charge, yes, sir. Matter of fact, one of my flying buddies is W4 DJW, Dave, and he and I fly some together. And let's see, I'm trying to remember his call sign. I believe it's KO4 CEF. He flies with us a little bit. There's a couple other guys.
KB2HXS.
Gosh, now I'm going to really have fun trying to keep the neighborhood straight. How you doing this morning, Dave? Hey, Dave. That's Dave there.
Dave, KF4NXY.
Alrighty, I appreciate that. Good morning, gentlemen and Steve. Steve, what does your schedule look like tomorrow?
Come up and check the systems.
Fine, yeah, I'd like to knock it off in the morning.
I tell you what, let me call you on a landline.
Call me now or are you going to call me later? I mean, it's no big deal. We can change it anytime you want. It doesn't matter. I'm just trying to get a schedule going this week. That's all.
Let me call you now.
All right, let me go get my phone. It's in the other room. KB2HXS for ID. I'm going to be sitting on the side here for a minute. You're the Dave. Go ahead, take it.
Steve, sometime when I get a chance, I've got a very large helicopter still in the box that got for the wife a few years back. And now that she's retired, we kind of like to get that thing out and see what we could do with it. So anyway, maybe set up a time to come and meet y'all at your flying field and see what we can do with the thing, and I'll let you go make your phone call. KF4NXY.
Keep Kilo November 4. And the rest you call sign?
Kilo Foxtrot 4 November X-ray Yankee.
Roger, roger. Dave, I will absolutely get a hold of you on the radio here and let you know when we're going again. Yeah, we'd love to have you come out. Do you still have your AMA?
I've heard y'all talking about that too. Never have gotten, you know, any kind of whatever, you know, you need to fly stuff like that. So I need to find the details out about that too.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we can meet for lunch one day. We can look at your copter and we'll figure out, you know, what you need as far as batteries and that kind of stuff. Is that Hilo a fueler or is it electric?
Sure, it's electric, and it's, for me, I consider it to be very large. And we've got some smaller ones too. We've accumulated toys like that and just never had the time to play with them.
You sound like my good guy. We'll definitely be in touch, and maybe we'll have lunch and go over your stuff and look and see what we need to do to get you prepped and fill you in on the new stuff that you have to have before you can go fly. So let me make this call. 73s, I'll be in touch. KN4VWA, I'll be back.
I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you a little later. KF4NXY clear.
SJC 70.